Right now, on the telephone line, the head coach of men's basketball at the University of Maine, Richard Barron, joins us. Coach, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, Rich. How are you, bud?
I'm doing well. How are you?
I'm good. We've had some social media interaction, but I have missed you.
I know. We haven't talked since back before the season got underway. It was, well, as it's been for everybody, a challenging basketball season for you as you look back at everything you had to endure and get through it. What do you take from this? And as a team, how do you put it all in perspective, or is it too soon to do that yet?
It's a little bit of both. I think that's a great question. You always ask great questions. and a lot of the responses are very cliche, right? There's a reason why they're cliche, right? They're true. Like, you know, life's hard. And you got to come up with solutions. You know, everybody's got excuses. And so I think there's a lot of that, Rich, looking back. But we're not that far removed from it either. I think there's still some, you know, a little bit of open wounds and disappointment. I mean, we all wanted to play. We were sometimes disappointed or frustrated with our procedures, right? Not because of anybody's fault, but just because we wanted, you know, we felt like we needed to be out there playing, and we were stuck, you know, in quarantine in a dorm room or home or whatever. And at the same time, you really appreciate the people who were putting your health first and making decisions based on what they thought was best for everybody. And so it was really a tough year that way. It wasn't normal. Right? It wasn't just about winning games or, you know, in some cases, things like going to class or whatever that would be normal in a college year. It was about trying the best way, you know, to find the best way forward. So,
but I think back to preseason when you told us that the standards that you normally use to measure success or failure weren't going to work this year, no matter what happened.
No, they weren't. And at least... some of them were exaggerated, you know, but I think there were also some great things that happened this year, and maybe there'll be a very bright future for men's basketball coming out of this. You know, that there's some clarity in terms of direction and where we go that, you know, happened from this. But still, the truth of the matter is we've got some really good people who gave a really good effort to try to both help us play and to play for us. And we want to acknowledge that, you know, that just because we weren't able to doesn't mean that people, you know, messed up somehow. Mm. One thing that I do kind of, you know, if I could go back and you know, do again, I would say that the words opt out that we used, it really wasn't an option. You know, opt out implies there was a choice. We didn't have enough bodies.
Right.
We still don't. Like right now, we still have players who are not cleared to do any athletic activity since our games with Vermont. And so we didn't have enough players. You know, we literally did not have enough people to field a team to play. So it wasn't about the guys choosing not to play. It was just the reality that has anybody gotten cleared? You know, when does anybody have appointments? When are your cardiograms, EKGs, you know, scheduled for? And when those dates started running into March, we knew that we weren't going to be able to play. And that wasn't our fault, and that's not necessarily, you know, anybody else's fault. It was just a reality. And so it was disappointing for all of our guys because they all wanted to compete. Nobody came here to play basketball, to be on the team but not play games. So we were all disappointed with that, but we felt like we needed to at least acknowledge the reality instead of to continue to wait because we were postponing games, right? Waiting for that. And so in fairness to everybody, we felt like we need to just, you know, say this is where we are. And as it turns out, well, the conference moved the tournament up a week, and we wouldn't have been able to even play in the conference tournament. So it wasn't, you know, it wasn't just the 5 out of 8 games that we were scheduled to play this week. It turned out to be the end of the season anyway. So, it wasn't, I feel like some people, at least on social media or whatever, acted as if either our staff, our kids, or our administration pulled the plug on something. We didn't. Nobody pulled the plug. We just did not have enough players to play.
Now, it may be too early to even know this or have any indication, but is there a chance that players are able to get back some eligibility after this season?
Well, everybody gets a year of eligibility back. I think, you know, there's also the reality of, you know, programs need to move forward or have made promises and, you know, all of that. So the entire, you know, team basically got to play a year for free, you know, in terms of eligibility. But they don't get to play for a year for free in terms of tuition or scholarships or whatever. Everybody still has to pay for that. So for some, it may be extending their eligibility here. For some, it may be an opportunity to be a grad transfer somewhere else. And, you know, what we want to do is make sure we're fair and you know, thorough in looking at all those options and helping people find what's best for them. But to answer your question, yeah, everybody gets the year back in terms of eligibility. It doesn't necessarily mean everybody gets free money. You know, someone's got to pay for that, right? Mm. And so, and we obviously have offers and have recruited people based on what we thought was coming, you know, would have been a normal year. So we have to also honor those commitments.
We're talking with Coach Richard Barron here on Downtown. Well, one of the things about Maine's basketball and athletic future that's very exciting, the recently announced athletic facilities plan, and I'm so excited about basketball coming back to the campus of the University of Maine, and this multi-purpose center looks like the showpiece of the whole project.
Oh, man. Everything about this project for everybody in our department, not just basketball, but for everybody is so exciting. And boy, I wish I could just snap my fingers and get there. You know, we've all waited so long for something like this. But, you know, thank God for the Alphon Foundation and what they've done for us. And, you know, and also I think, you know, a lot of credit goes to certainly Ken and Seth for their development of this gift, and even going back to others like Carlton Creech, you know, who kind of got the ball rolling on this. But I also think what's really, you know, special and the foundation themselves, like Greg, get a lot of credit for, or should get a lot of credit for, is this vision is really what's special for UMaine. It's not how everybody else would spend that same sort of money. This is about what does the most for all of our programs and really creates a community atmosphere and a really sustainable athletic department. So, now there's some other things we got to do around this. We've got to pick up the pace, and certainly as a men's basketball program, we need to win some games. There's no, you know, shying away from that. And, obviously I wouldn't have taken this job if I didn't think that we could do that. So we need to do that, but man, our future is so much brighter with this gift. Gosh, I mean, I get excited too. And I don't know where they made the, you know, Rich Kimball press box or whatever, but I'm sure it's going to be very nice.
Yeah, I'm still saving pennies to see whatever I can contribute to the cause there.
Well, you might get that, you know, without any contributions, but, you know, I'm sure it's going to look really nice.
You told me in an online conversation you had a good story about a legendary sports writer. Is that a story you can share on the air?
Well, give me a little bit. Is that? I think I have an idea of who you're talking.
Is the John Feinstein story?
John Feinstein. Yes. So, yeah, John's a great guy, and certainly a supporter of America East Athletics, and does commentary for UMBC. And he made a very kind conversation about my coaching abilities on air between the UMBC and Vermont games. And I sent him a text message and said, hey, thanks for the kind words. And that led to this conversation about, you know, everything that's gone on this year and how he wanted, you know, the meeting to reach out. And I expressed to him just my frustration. I said, listen, a lot of stuff has gone wrong and it's not anybody's fault. That's the hardest thing is, you know, we're so used to accountability in athletics, right? Somebody's responsible. Who do you point the finger at?
Mm.
And I said, there's just no one to point the finger at. It's just a bad year. Everybody's got to go through it. We got the short end of the stick. We got to suck it up. And he said, well, it's okay with me if you want to blame on Donald Trump. I said, thank you. So I may take that exit ramp and just put it on Trump. But I think that's the kind of year we've all had, right? Is there, that everything has kind of gotten blurred, you know, between, you know, everything from religion to politics to sports. You know, we're all kind of in our silos, and it's like we're just what's been normal, where we've had multiple places where we could go and there were boundaries. Everything's kind of been blurred this year. I'll tell you a different one. You know, you mentioned John Feinstein, a mutually respected guy, but, you know, Bryan Cranston is one for me. I mean, I act like, you know, you two are best friends, that the way you talk on the air, but I finally got around to watching Breaking Bad, you know, because of all the time through the pandemic, and then couldn't get enough of The Honor or, you know, any of the sequels on Netflix. You know, I mean, what an incredible actor he is. And I just think how cool it is that you have these people on the air all the time, you know, and so I can't play anything on guitar, because I'm not very good at guitar anyway, but when I play something, I do think, you know, about their background, and I'm thinking they're probably somebody who's been on Rich Kimball's show.
But you know, who we have to get on, and when we get him on, and I've been trying to track him down for a couple of years, but when we get him on, I'm going to let you know so you can be a part of the conversation, and we can lord it over our friend Brian Stackpole forever when we finally get Michael McDonald on the show.
Oh, my gosh, I hope we do. I mean, Michael McDonald, like, he's everywhere. Kenny Loggins, you know. I was listening to, is it The Bridge, I think, on XM?
I love that. Oh, that's one of my favorite Sirius XM stations.
All right, so Kenny Loggins is telling the story about how he wrote the song Heart to Heart. And, you know, he takes the verse and the chorus to Michael, or the verse, sorry, to Michael McDonald to write the chorus, and he does, and then he brings him to the studio to record. He hadn't even heard the verses, and he sings background to it. Like, I think the guy's amazing. I understand he's got a little bit of a unique falsetto sound to him, but I don't know. There are a lot of people who bought a lot of records who agree with me.
Now, I have to share this with you. Let me see if I can find. Yeah, I just got the email a couple of weeks ago. One of our favorite yacht rock guys, I reached out to get him on. And he's not doing any interviews right now, but they were very positive and said, you know, once things have straightened out and he's back performing, we would love to have him on your show. And so when that happens, I'll also reach out. Christopher Cross.
Oh, that's my guy. Yeah. And you know what's funny about Christopher Cross is I liked him before Arthur's Team. I think everybody kind of, you know, knew Arthur's Theme as the, you know, that was his breakthrough moment. But for me, it was Sailing. It was, I told you, you know, I went to his concert. I can't remember. Maybe I was 10, 11, or 12. I'd have to go back and figure out exactly. But loved that concert in Dothan, Alabama. It was, I think it was maybe even, yeah, I'm pretty sure it was Dothan, Alabama. Could have been Troy. I think Troy was Andy Gibb. The two different locations.
All right. Well, when we get him lined up, I'm going to reach out and we'll have you be a part of it.
That would be so fun. I would remember, you know, my days at the local pool where we had a jukebox and listened to Christopher Cross.
We'll ride like the wind together. Richard, always good to talk with you, my friend. Appreciate you making time for us this afternoon.
Oh, thank you for making time for me. I really appreciate it, and I hope we can do it, you know, more consistently in the future.
We will not wait till basketball season. I guarantee you that.
Sounds great. All right. Thanks so much.
Thanks, Richard. Richard Barron with us on Downtown.